Wednesday, August 6th, Transfiguration of Our Lord. The Epistle from the Second Letter of St. Peter, chapter 1, verses 16 through 19. Dearly beloved, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, but having been made eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, this voice coming down to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." And this voice we heard brought from heaven when we were with him in the holy mount. And we have the more firm prophetical word, whereunto you do well to attend, as to a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Haydock Commentary. We have not followed artificial fables invented to promote our doctrine. I with others were eyewitnesses of his glory on Mount Tabor. And we have the surer word of prophecy to make our testimonies and preaching of Christ more firm. The revelations of God made to the prophets and contained in the Holy Scriptures give us of all others the greatest assurance. Though the mysteries in themselves remain obscure and incomprehensible, the motive of our belief is divine authority. If our testimony be suspicious, we have what you will certainly allow, the testimony of the prophets. Attend then to the prophets as to a lamp that illumines a dark place, till the bright day of a more lively faith begins to illumine you, and the day star arises in your hearts, till this faith, which is like the day star, gives you a perfect knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is by the divine oracles you will acquire this knowledge, provided you read them with proper dispositions. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. At that time, Jesus took Peter and James and John his brother, and bringing them up into a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking with him. And Peter answering said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias." And as he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And lo, a voice out of the cloud, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." And the disciples hearing fell upon their face, and were very much afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, and said to them, "Arise, and fear not." And they, lifting up their eyes, saw no one but only Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man, till the Son of Man be risen from the dead." Haydock Commentary. Jesus took Peter as head of the apostolic college, James as first to shed his blood for the faith, and John as he was to survive all the rest and to transmit to posterity the circumstances of this glorious mystery. Or, according to St. John Chrysostom, he took them on account of their more excellent love, zeal, courage, sufferings, and predilection. The mountain is generally believed to be Tabor, and as such is considered by Christians as holy, and was much frequented by pilgrims, as St. Jerome testifies. Venerable Bede tells us that three churches were built upon it. And Mr. Mondrell, in his book Journey from Aleppo to Jerusalem, says there are still three grottos made to represent the three tabernacles proposed by St. Peter. Others, however, do not think the transfiguration took place on Mount Tabor, which was in the middle of Lower Galilee, because St. Mark says that Christ and his apostles, departing thence, passed through Galilee, and not out of Galilee, and suppose it might be Libanus, because it was near Caesarea Philippi, in the borders of which Christ appears at this time to have been. At least the promise of the transfiguration was made there, and this place is distant about 60 miles from Mount Tabor. Mount Libanus is the highest in Palestine, according to St. Jerome. And of it, Isaiah prophesied, "The glory of Libanus is given to it, the beauty of Carmel and Saron. They shall see the glory of our God." Chapter 35, verse 2. When he was transfigured, let no one think that he changed his natural form, laying aside his corporeal and assuming a spiritual form. But when the evangelist says his countenance shone like the sun, and describes the whiteness of his garments, he shows in what the transfiguration consisted. He added to his former appearance splendor and glory, but laid not aside his substance. The Lord was transfigured into that glory with which he will appear again at the day of judgment and in his kingdom. So says St. Jerome. Jesus Christ had been taken by the people to be Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He therefore chose the chief of all the prophets to be present, that he might show his great superiority over them and verify the illustrious confession of Peter. The Jews had accused Christ of blasphemy and of breaking the Sabbath. The presence of Moses and Elijah refuted the calumny, for the founder of the Jewish laws would never have sanctioned him who was a transgressor of those laws, and Elijah, so full of zeal for the glory of God, would never have paid homage to one who made himself equal to God, had he not really been the Son of the Most High. So says St. John Chrysostom. St. Hilary thinks that Moses and Elijah, who represent the law and the prophets, and who here bear witness to the divinity of Jesus Christ, will be the precursors of his second coming, alluded to in Revelation chapter 11, though the general opinion of the fathers is that the two witnesses there mentioned are Enoch and Elijah. It is here evident that the saints departed can and do, with the permission of God, take an interest in the affairs of the living. So says St. Augustine. For as angels elsewhere, so here the saints also served our Savior, and as angels both in the Old and New Testament were frequently present at the affairs of men, so may saints be. All interpreters agree that Elijah appeared in his own body, since he was taken up to heaven in a fiery chariot, but various are their opinions with regard to the apparition of Moses. The two causes of the fear of the apostles are the cloud that overshadowed them and the voice of God the Father. Their human weakness could not bear such refulgent beams of glory, and trembling in every limb, they fall prostrate on the ground. So says St. Jerome. The Almighty, it seems, was pleased to fulfill the wish of Peter, thereby to show that himself is the tent or pavilion, under the shade of which the blessed shall live forever, and to sanction the public and explicit confession of Peter relative to the divinity of Jesus Christ by his own no less public and explicit confession, joined with an express command to hear and obey him. St. John Chrysostom very justly remarks that this voice was not heard till after the departure of Moses and Elijah, that no possible doubt might exist to whom it was referred, and that it was to Christ only and to no other. As the law and the prophets are fulfilled and verified in Jesus Christ, your new legislator and prophet, you are to hear and obey him in preference to either Moses or Elijah or any other teacher. The terrified disciples were still prostrate on the ground and unable to arise when Jesus, with his usual benevolence, approaches, touches them, expels their fear, and restores them to the use of their limbs. So says St. Jerome. Tell the vision to no man till the miracle of his resurrection has prepared the minds of men for the belief of this. Expose not an event so wonderful to the rash censure of the envious Pharisees, who calumniate and misrepresent my most evident miracles. Jesus Christ also gave a lesson here to his followers to observe the closest secrecy in all spiritual graces and favors.